You are now listening to the Hack My Age podcast, the show that brings you guests for the woman going through the menopause journey. I'm your host, Zora Benamou, a gerontologist, certified sports nutrition, menopause, and breathing coach. I'm the author of The Longevity Master Plan and the cookbook Eating for Longevity. And if you're a woman in perimenopause or postmenopause, check out the programs on the hackmyage.com website to biohack and optimize your menopause experience, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So now please head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review to help others find us too. This is a really important point because it costs nothing, but makes a huge impact for me to support a podcast from menopausal women to normalize this conversation about menopause and attract even more amazing guests to the show for you and for me. Hey there, biohacking besties. If you're navigating perimenopause or just dealing with those pesky menopause symptoms like hot flashes, fatigue, unexplained weight gain, you're not alone. I get it. The struggles with belly fat, crappy sleep, a racing mind, thinning hair, and that all too familiar feeling of anxiety or mood swings. Or maybe you've just experienced those mysterious symptoms like phantom smells, itchy skin, and achy joints. And these are all signs that you may be heading into the menopause transition. Yep, even if you're only 40. And it's not even rare to have these symptoms in your 30s, so just be aware. But here's the scoop. Menopause may be inevitable, but suffering is completely optional. You don't have to just tough it out because it's a natural process that women have endured for centuries. Yes, it's natural, but no, you don't have to tolerate the pain anymore. And that's why I've created specialized menopause biohacking programs just for you. This is not the usual recommendations like get a fan and dress in layers. We are talking about biohacks, which go beyond what most people even heard of to treat menopause symptoms. So head over to the hackmyage.com website and snag the Hot Flash program or the Energy Reboot program to hack your fatigue and optimize your menopause transition. And whether you prefer self-guided, affordable masterclasses or fully guided programs with a supportive community of women and me who are facing similar challenges, we have got you covered. Our next group session kicks off on February 4th, 2024, and here's a little treat for our fabulous listeners. You get an exclusive 10% off any program with the code HACKMYAGE. So got to act fast, especially if you want a spot in the guided program, because we keep it intimate with a maximum of 20 women to give you the attention you deserve. And if you're tuning in after that due date, no worries, just shoot me a message and I'll make a special offer just for you. So don't let menopause dictate your journey. Let's conquer it together and head over to the Hack My Age website now and start biohacking menopause. You can now watch all of our podcast interviews on the Hack My Age YouTube channel. Some of our guests bring slideshows, so it's really great to have. Every week, there is a new video, so just search Hack My Age on YouTube.com or find the link on the Hack My Age website.
One last thing before we get started. If you're not yet part of the Biohacking Menopause membership group, you're going to want to jump in before the end of March 2024 because we have two offers. One is that we're going to have a giveaway with my favorite blue blocking glasses, Viva Rays, which is exclusive to our group members. And two, anyone who signs up to the membership before April 1st, 2024 gets a free private consultation with me. Now, the glasses are valued at $297 US, and a private consultation with me is $200. And the price of the membership, it's only $24.99. So you really won't find a better deal. So go to biohacking-menopause.mn.co or find the link in the show notes. Okay, now we can start the show.
So my guest today is Kelly Howard, and she has an interesting title: fitness consistency expert with a touch of adventure. So you can guess what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about getting fit. We're going to talk about staying consistent with it and getting outdoors. So she really has an interesting book also that you can download called Fit, Active and Ageless for Life. Because you see, Kelly
She's now 63, and she's been helping women prioritize fitness and get them motivated and consistent for over 25 years. So she's got some pretty good experience with this. And she's got the wisdom, she's got the experience to help us really feel great and have more fun in this second half of life. And she's been inspiring women to pretty much get outdoors, get adventurous, get out of their comfort zones, and try something new, something that they only dreamt of previously. So I'm wondering if there's any ice bathing, getting a little bit out of your comfort zone in that way. We'll talk about that. And she also has a podcast for older women called Fit is Freedom. And she's coaching, she's got a coaching business, she's got online courses, she's got retreats also geared towards an older woman. So she's really got some very interesting things to check out. And she's the creator of the Fox TV Outdoor Houston Adventure Series. And she now calls Houston, Texas, home. But really, her home is outdoors in the wild, where she's found kayaking rivers and traveling trails all around the world. So now, without further ado, let's meet Kelly Howard. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And hello to everybody listening.
So let's start with finding out a little bit more about you. You're now post-menopause and you're enjoying life to the fullest. Have you always been into fitness? Has it come to you easily?
Really, when I was younger, let's call it, in my 20s, I wasn't that active. I did some skating, didn't do much, but I picked up sailboat racing in my late 20s. And then I also, in my 30s, picked up skate racing, long distance skate racing. And those two things got me moving, but they didn't get me really fit. Well, the skating was pretty very, very impressive at that age. But when you're in your 30s, you can get in shape by doing a lot of cardio, a lot of hard cardio. Then I had to just really get serious about the weights too, because that's where, it is when we hit menopause.
So you've been pretty active since your 30s, and you found the sports that you like. And is it so it's never been a challenge like, oh, I've got to exercise because everybody's doing it and it's good for me. You just kind of naturally fell into it.
I just automatically always go toward the things that are fun. And that's what I try and get all my women to do, because even if fun is taking the dog for a different walk than you normally do, it really doesn't matter what fun is to anybody. But if we're doing something that we enjoy, it's so easy to do it. It's so easy to be consistent with it. It's so easy to get out there and just really enjoy it. And then the piece of that that works is that if we're really enjoying something and we know we need to do maybe a little more mobility so that we can, our hips are happy if we're out hiking or whatever it is, it's easier to add in those things that we need to add in.
I've been talking to some of my friends in the US, and when you say fun, I'm thinking games. I mean, that's just a game. Like, I want to play a game. And it seems like everybody's into pickleball.
I was going to say, if you want to play a game right now in the US, pickleball.
Yeah, and it's like an obsession or something. I don't
It
even
is
know
an
what it is.
obsession.
Like somebody described, I have to go to YouTube and look at a video, but it's like a lighter racket, kind of like a ping pong ball. Men, women, it's not like a chosen gender or not. What is that? And why do people like it so much? And is it keeping them fit?
100% transparency. I haven't played pickleball. I haven't picked that up, but I understand the desire because a lot of people have played tennis in their life. And tennis is one of those things that if you aren't like a super athlete, as you get, it doesn't, I'm going to say older, and older could be 40s, as you get to a certain age, it's harder on your body because there's a lot of moving. And pickleball is a smaller court. Kind of like racquetball, but not so fast. With that smaller court, it allows people to interact, which is huge. Community is one of my favorite pieces to teach people. So it allows people to have community. It allows people to play like kids. It allows them to get out there and be a little competitive. In fact, I have one of my clients who is recovering right now from the shoulder injury when she made that heroic dive for the pickleball. So I think it just brings all the things together.
That makes perfect sense. And as we age, we don't want to be so aggressive with our joints. And I think it's just less intense. And this, I mean, there's less pressure, I guess, or force going against that racket. So a lot of people who play tennis have tennis elbow, and it seems, I mean, as that it's like could be that as well. So that's a good shift. That's trying something new. That's getting outdoors, right? It's an outdoor thing, right?
It can be outdoor or indoor. Like during the winter, a lot of people are, setting up short places inside and playing there. So they're turning into a year-round activity.
So pre-menopause, you were training, you were doing something at least. And I want to know what that is. And how has it changed post-menopause?
Pre-menopause, I was super athlete at that point. I was doing triathlons at 48. I was racing 86 miles on my skates. I was, you know, doing 200-mile bike rides. And it was a lot of cardio, right? You can tell, like, all the things I was doing, it was a cardio push. I still lifted weights, but it wasn't a very big focus for me. I was actually all about the winning at that moment. And unfortunately, all about the winning got me into a place where by 50, I was in a lot of pain. Joints were hurting, back was hurting. I wasn't doing the super long stuff anymore. I dropped skating, which was like my lifelong passion. I'd quit because it was just causing sciatic like nobody's business. And at that age, I went through menopause, and I went through menopause pretty quick. Like, but at that age, I was probably about 40. I mean, 50, I'm sorry, about 50.
And then you said quickly, like how long did that transition?
Maybe 6 months. I was somebody who had probably unusual periods my entire life. They were very, very short, like a flash in the pan or flash in the pants, literally. And then on to life. Like it never really slowed me down. And so I guess menopause was kind of the same thing, except that what I started noticing was all the trouble I was having with joints and pain and just not happy. My body just wasn't happy.
Like, that was pretty active. I mean, pretty, very about winning in my 40s and now and 50s, now I'm 53. And so, I'm dealing with a hip pain. So, and I'm trying hormone therapy because a lot of women say hormone therapy helps a lot with their joint pain. So that's another thing. Did you hear about that? Did you try that one?
At that time, it was that moment in time when they said, if you do hormone therapy, you're going to die of, I don't remember if it was heart attack or breast cancer, one of them, right? Like there was this brief moment in time when that was what all the doctors were telling women. And my sister was doing hormone therapy. And I was like, Patty, don't do that. Like, you know, we're going to die. And I bought the story. If I could go back in time, and I very seldom say that, but this is one thing that I would change if I could go back in time, because I think hormone therapy, I've seen my friends that went through it. Big difference in skin. And now I've spent my entire life outside. So of course I have some special wrinkles, but I think the skin would have been better. And I think the joints would have been more flexible. So now at this stage, I'm doing repair work. But the good news is I'm not in the pain that I used to be in. I'm still as active and in a lot of ways, even more active than I used to be. Like I do things now that at 48, I thought would have been cool if I was younger to try.
How does the pain go away? How did you get the pain to dissipate?
I will try anything. Okay. I am willing to experiment on myself. You too. You try these things. So things that I tried, supplements. I've become a big fan of collagen supplements. And I guess I should tell everybody there was one more layer to me. I had been a vegetarian since I was about 19 or 20, never touched a protein, anything until I was in my 50s.
Because, wow.
Yeah. Right. Like I didn't touch eggs. I didn't take protein powder. I didn't do squat. So what you're dealing with right now is like, I'm what, 10 years older than you. So in that 10 years, can you imagine the change in knowledge that we've had?
Yes.
Like shocking, shocking. The first long distance race I didn't know how to train for it or how to eat for it. Like the only thing I was doing was, you know, at stops, I'd take some potassium powder. I didn't know anything else because there wasn't the knowledge out there, the knowledge base that we have now.
It's amazing you could be so athletic and be competitive as well and not crash and burn without protein.
Right. I mean, you didn't, right?
I mean, maybe you did. I don't know.
I never really crashed and burned. I mean, I think part of it, and I don't know this, I think part of it is being a vegetarian, the flip side, the good side of it, I think it allows you to have a lot of energy. Because I have always been like, you know, like Tigger the Tiger. And the kind of to drive people crazy kind of energy. And you know, if I want to make it even worse, the only thing I ate for 40 years was pasta, because pasta and vegetables.
And
I didn't know any better.
When you started eating proteins or meat or any kind of protein for that matter, because did you notice any changes in your hair, your nails, or
Here are the two differences I've noticed. If I don't do protein, it takes me longer to gain muscle. Along with protein, I'm also doing creatine after I would lift. Okay. Without those two things, I definitely notice muscle loss, and muscle doesn't come on as quick. That's probably the big ones.
This episode is sponsored by Oxford Healthspan, the creators of my favorite supplement, Primadine. I admit it, I am a total supplement junkie, but if I had to choose only one, it would be this one. And it's because Primadine is spermidine, and this is shown to activate autophagy, which is super important. Now, this is a cellular cleanup and recycling process that declines as we age. So as we get older, our cells accumulate a lot of junk and waste, which isn't good for our cells, our health, nor our longevity. So we need to clean it up. And if you want the research on this, go to oxfordhealthspan.com and you can see all of it, showing how spermidine supports our brain, our hormones, and our heart health. And another great side effect is stronger hair, skin, and nails, but also longer eyelashes. But, you know, the real important reason why I love Primadine is because I have never, ever received as much feedback on a product I recommended as I have with Primadine. Literally every week, someone reaches out to me on Facebook or Instagram with an amazing testimonial. And most of the time, it's about improved sleep. And even some of you told me it's reversed a bit of your gray hair too. So I find that totally amazing. So I can honestly say with 100% certainty that Primadine is the best spermidine supplement you'll ever find. And you can try it with a 15% discount by using the code ZORA, Z-O-R-A, on oxfordhealthspan.com. Just be sure to get back to me with your results too. Now enjoy the show.
When you did that, but when you just, first of all, like why did you decide to start eating protein or you're eating animal protein or just vegetable protein?
I'm not. I will eat some whey. I'll do some whey protein.
But you still are a vegetarian. You just now incorporate more protein in your diet.
I do. And like I told a friend today, every year I eat one bite of fish to see if I'm ready for the fish. And I'm not, but someday I might be, right? Because I think fish is probably really good for us. But it's, you know, having been this way for so long, I'm just kind of this way. So to answer your question, starting the protein was just simply because became a knowledge base out there. Suddenly there was knowledge. Suddenly there was more about women than, you know, and there's still a lot of non-knowledge. If you think about it, like my sister, I keep explaining to her that maybe she should incorporate some collagen and protein in her diet because she's having a lot of pain, a lot of issues. And she's like sending me, I don't know who it is, the American Dairy, her, I don't know, somebody's notes going, you only need 30 grams of protein a day, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conflicting information. But when you start really studying, like you do, you realize that we need it. Like, we just need it. And when you start getting the pain, you realize that there's something going on. And I never wanted to live the rest of my life incapable of doing the things I love.
So how did you get rid of the pain? It just went away? Or did you do something?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. We went somewhere else. So how did I get rid of it? I tried everything. I've tried acupuncture, helped a teeny bit. I've tried NeuroMD, which is like a TENS unit on steroids. I use that whenever I get into pain these days, seems to help. I use red light therapy, have the big panel and the handheld light. I doubled down on the protein. I doubled down on the collagen, the right kind of collagen supplement. I've done a lot more mobility. It's a big piece of what I'm always like blabbing to my crowd about. And they want to put their fingers in their ears. But I'm like, guys, we got to warm these joints up. You can't go out cold because I'm sure you've tried this too, you know, you do one thing that you love to do. You go out cold, do it, see how you feel. You go out warmed up, see how you feel. Big difference. It's all of those things. And I think that changing my weight routine, being a competitive kind of gal, my weight routine used to be, how much can I lift, right? Like, let's see how much I can lift. And I've dialed it back a little bit. I probably lift half of what I used to lift. And part of me is like appalled to even say that. But another part of me notices that I don't have as much pain as I used to. I use a lot of trigger balls and rolling, and I use it all, Zora. I mean, I just figured that if I want to live well for a long time, I'm going to try it all. Sleep.
In sleep, that's for sure. Muscle too.
Right.
Have you tried any blood flow restriction bands like Katsu?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Do that.
It's great for building muscle, especially if you're going to do the baby weights, right? Or lift half as much. Your body will respond as if it's lifting a lot more than that you're actually lifting, which is why I love them. And especially if you're injured or if you just not going to lift the weights because you know it's going to give you pain, you can still get the gains as if you were. So, yeah, make sure you do that. Let's talk about this menopause transition and the fitness. And I hear sometimes people tell me, you know, Zora, you just got to slow down, you know, because I have joint pain, right? Or hip pain. It's not joint pain, I have to say. It's really localized. And then I have other people, you know, where if you're part of like the Dr. Stacey Sims group, Feisty Menopause, they're like, no, it's time to speed up. This is our moment. This is our time. And I propose to that as well, because I think we need to speed up sometimes because it's just so much harder as we get older, right? It's we have to work double time. And when we were young, it just kind of came, right? Get real fit and get your body composition without doing much. So exactly. I'm not really sure. I mean, there's two things, right? There's what do you think is the right way to approach this?
Coming back to, you know, my usual approach thing, I like to use it all. Okay. I think there are some things that we need to slow down on. For instance, like the heavy weights. I noticed that using heavy weights gave me muscles I wanted and joints I didn't want. So by using me as a test rat of one, I went, okay, how can we do that differently? And like, you know, to what you said, you know, there's different things you can do. So that's part of it. The other part of it is, though, I think there's this cultural belief that menopause is, oh, really, sweetie, it's kind of the end of everything. So, you know, maybe it's time to just go slow down and go sit in the corner and, you know, take care of the grandkids. Nothing wrong with taking care of the grandkids, but take care of them in the way you want to do. Like, get out there and do the things that you love to do, because the more things you love to do and the more fun you have and the more you don't have to speed up. Like, I don't have to run faster and further, but I do have to have a life that I'm really enjoying. And it just naturally follows that we find the things that are going to work for us. We do work out more. We do prioritize ourselves, which is a huge piece. Like, a lot of people feel like, let me rephrase that, a lot of women that I work with feel like everything else needs to come first, and then they'll take care of themselves. The work, the kids, the grandkids, you know, the family, the partner, all this stuff. And you know what? People may say it's selfish, but I subscribe to the fact that if we don't take care of ourselves first, we're not going to be able to take care of any of them anyway. So we're not going to be here for them.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. Yes. Like in the airplane, put on your oxygen mask first and then deal with the kid. I guess.
Right. Good luck, kids. Now you can tell I didn't reproduce.
So what's happening to our bodies in this menopause transition when it comes to fitness, and how does the loss of our hormones play a role? What are your thoughts on that?
That's probably the number one thing, is that muscle goes away if you don't do anything about it. And sometimes people just look at me and they're like, well, I don't like to go to the gym anyway. I'm like, it's not about the gym. It's about living life well. It's about having the strength to do everything you want to do. And if you don't even want to be strong, you have to have the strength to have the balance you need. And I don't use the word have to, but I'm using it a lot because I'm really passionate about this. We have to make sure that we're fighting against the ravages of age. And I apologize, I haven't heard you say this, but you probably said this before. Our bodies were made to go to about 30. Like, that's really about, you know, about where our bodies were made to go to at one point. And now we're living like twice that long and three times that long. We have to do things that are going to make it work. So yes, I think muscle is the first one. I'm a big believer in supplements. I think you need to look at what's not working in your body and figure out where you're missing. You have to clean up your food. I mean, sugar is probably the biggest thing I see. And my crowd is, you know, and it's kind of at that point where it's like, well, what's a little treat here? What's a little treat there? And I agree, unless the little treat is a quarter of ice cream every night, you know, and all the other things that happen, because we get so much inflammation that, and sugar is, you know, one of those. And it also, there's a lot going on inside our bodies that we're not aware of. So people come to me and they're like shocked. They're like, I'm pre-diabetic. I'm like, well, you just told me what you've been eating and not eating for an entire lifetime. So I think food is a huge piece, and not treating it as the comfort that we need. So easy to get comfort from food instead of comfort from movement.
And hormones, when we lose our estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, any thoughts on that? Because we understand that it's quite an impact.
So my thoughts on that. First, I've already admitted I didn't do the replacement therapy because I had no idea. So I've been playing catch up for 13 years. One thing that I noticed, which is I think kind of interesting, is I've always been that person, that female, who could just like throw on the weights, like throw on the muscle. Took me no time at all. But as you go through this, you start losing your testosterone, right? So I've noticed the testosterone loss, and I'm still not doing any sort of hormone therapy simply because I guess I've never really sat down with a doctor who told me, yeah, this would work, right? Most of them are like, yep, you're too late. And what I read is, you know, I'm a little too late. So I go to the whole idea of do what you can first, and then find out things that are going to work for you now. Even the estrogen, right? Like we just lose stuff. And our job is to figure out how to replace it. Again, usually my go-tos are food and supplements and movement.
Well, you can definitely talk to your doctor because it's kind of old school to say, oh, 10 years post-menopause, no way. There are plenty of exceptions. So if you're a woman listening now who's past that and think that window of opportunity, quote unquote, is related to you, not necessarily. So if that's where you need to find a menopause-trained doctor. Right. Doctors in generally, I've heard doctors tell me anywhere between 1 hour and 8 hours of training and menopause is what they get in medical school. And wow, when you think about the years, not decade, that people study medicine, how is it that they only got this teeny tiny bit of information? So please, yes, go talk to a menopause doctor and see where you're at. And of course, it's not just where your hormones are. Where is your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone? I can guarantee you they're gone pretty much.
Right.
Your body's still trying to produce it. Of course, you have some very, very low levels, and it's going to get worse with each passing decade, each passing year. But it's about figuring out based on your genetics, your family history, your cardiovascular disease risk, any other risks that you have. Are you a smoker? Are you overweight? All of these things take into play in determining if you can still take hormone therapy past that 10-year window. And yeah, so definitely I'd encourage women to learn about it. Yeah. And I think you're pretty fit and you're pretty healthy. I don't see why not, but you know, obviously there's a lot to go into it. So if your doctor's not asking you for a ton of details, and that's including how many kids you had when you last gave birth and like these weirdo questions, those all they have to take into account. So yeah, go and talk to your
Perfect.
Doctor.
Thank you.
Yes, you can still benefit and protect those bones, that heart and that brain while you're still young, right? So let's talk about your clients that you've been working with. Are any of them on hormone therapy? And if they are, do you notice any differences in their fitness or health outcomes or body compositions with those who are on it and who aren't, other than the skin, my skin?
So the women that I work with are generally about 48 to about 78. So somewhere in that range. The ones who are a little bit younger who are using the hormone therapy, yes, I can see a difference. I can see a difference in their skin. I can see a difference in not in their weight necessarily. So, and I think that's simply life choices, but I do see a little difference. And I also see a bit of difference in their belief that, yes, they can actually change their body. Because that's always a question I get, right? Like at this age, can I really make a difference?
So you're saying that those women in their late 40s, early 50s, the ones who are on hormone therapy, they have more confidence that they can build the body than those who are not on the hormone therapy. They seem a little bit less confident.
I think so.
And do you notice anything? Like there are, say, two women, they're both working, they're in the same training, and one is getting some results and some not. Is that?
No, I can't tell you that I see side-by-side changes simply because when I work with women, I'm not the person on my team who's actually doing the personal training. I'm the person who says, you know what, this is the suggestion I have for the kind of plan you should have. now I'm going to give you over here and you're going to get a personal training plan based on your injuries and your lifestyle and the time that you're going to put together and everything else. And so my personal trainer does that. So I can't say that I see identical side by side simply because I'm not in the really deep, what are they doing? I'm more in the upper high going, how's that working for you? Okay, we need to change something.
Are there any women in their 60s you're training who are on hormone therapy?
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Because by 60, you would see some health outcomes where some have osteoporosis, some don't. Some, you know, have some brain fog and some don't. I don't know. Whatever. It would be interesting to see how they're, by the time you're 60, you'll have some bigger changes. But that's to come. You'll have
that's a question I'll ask.
Your older clients, and while we're on that, let's say the ones who are in their 60s and 70s, are they dealing with osteoporosis or sarcopenia?
Absolutely.
What are they doing? Have you been able to give them some plan and see some results?
The plan goes from anywhere from, I have one client who was a smoker, and I was just like, you got to stop that. Done. I don't care what it takes. That's over with. From there, okay, then the next piece is I always get them moving first. Moving in a way that's comfortable for them. For some people, it's just simply starting to walk. I mean, it is. It's just simply starting to walk. And if they're walking, then after they get comfortable in a month, I suggest maybe a weight vest with 1 pound in it or 2 pounds in it, like simple stuff. It depends on where somebody's starting, right? Because everybody's starting from a different place. So if somebody's starting from zero or smoker, then, you know, you deal with that. You deal with the movement. You get the I'm always after them to get their mobility going because you know, when your joints aren't happy, then it's just so hard to move. So hard to move. And after that, everybody has to do some sort of weight bearing. And that weight bearing might start with just body weights or resistance bands or, you know, dumbbells. But I think that if we're not doing that, then we're basically just giving up. We may not say we're giving up, but we are.
Hey, I'm butting in for a quick second. If you enjoy the content brought to you in this podcast, consider supporting Hack My Age by becoming a patron on patreon.com. This is where you can drop a tip or become a member for the price of a coffee. Members get special material, free coaching, and private Zoom calls. Join us by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/hackmyage. Thanks for your support. Now let's get back to the podcast. So if you had a client, then say she's got not an optimal T-score on her osteoporosis results. So she's now osteopenia or osteoporosis, let's say. So were you able to work with her and get her out of that danger zone?
When somebody has that going on, the first thing we start with is, you know, what are you taking into your body, right? Are you taking in the supplements you should be taking, and the right ones, not the other ones. Are you being consistent with it? Then from there, we move into, there are options. Like if it's somebody in a big city, like they can even look at a company like OsteoStrong. They have pretty good results on turning it around for the right people. Like some people, you know, it doesn't work for some people, it does. So we figure out like, what's that thing that's going to be? And then we always get a baseline. Yeah, there's always that baseline DEXA because you don't know otherwise. And then you find the things that are debilitating you. So the debilitating, the smoking, over drinking, you know, I have ideas on other things that debilitate us. I'm pretty sure that that eating junk food isn't doing anything for our bones. I've never quite seen that on, you know, NIH, but there's no doubt about it in my mind. So it's a long-term plan. And it usually takes 2 years before somebody really sees that change on the DEXA. But they do see the change.
What are the right supplements?
I always suggest marine-based calcium. So marine-based calcium, and then of course, you know, the omegas, and a couple of the others, the A and the K and the D, and a couple of vegetarians, I have the Bs. But from what I have read, studied, and seen, the marine-based calcium is a game changer. I also suggest people to look at strontium. Strontium has, you know, it's one of those things. You can find everything bad about it. You can find everything good about it. I want people to make their own decisions about it. So I send them all the information, give them a highlight and say, you decide. But there seems to be a lot of science that's showing up that it's going to work. But once again, it's one of those things, especially here in the States, that it's It's not an accepted form of supplementation. So you have to really like look at all these things. But I like giving people their information, breaking it down simply, and then just saying, you know, what's next for you? How are we going to make some changes?
Let's move on to consistency, because you're an expert in consistency. So it, no matter what stage we're in life, it seems that's really, really hard. But then it gets harder as we get through this menopause transition, because we're not seeing sometimes the results when we put all the work into it. So you say in your book, you mentioned that there are five consistency killers. What are those?
Well, I mean, the first one I think is the biggest one is perfection. People will, I'll help them put together a plan, or I'll suggest that they put together a plan. And then what happens is they start. In fact, when we're recording this, it's the 22nd of January. All those people who started off with a New Year's fitness resolution just hit the 3-week mark. And it's a killer. There's a lot of reasons behind that, but there's a lot of statistics that show that at about week 3, we're just like, oh man, I'm busy. Right? I don't have time for all this. But if you start falling into the need to stay perfect with that plan that you created, then most likely you're going to stop. And it's going to be one more thing that you started and then quit. So my idea of perfection is if you can hit 80% of what you say you're going to do, kudos. If you're hitting 90%, you're probably a rock star. If you're hitting 100%, you're probably not trying hard enough. So perfection is one of the big ones. Another one is taking that a little bit further, which is what I call the tipping point, which is when you do so many things, you add so many things to, you know, your plan or your what you're going to do, et cetera, that all of a sudden you just tipped it over and it's just too much. Like you're just like, I can't do all this stuff, and you stop instead of regroup. So that's a big one too. And then, you know, a couple of the others, like one of them is just not anticipating the roadblocks that are going to come up in life. It's because life is just life and things are going to happen and we're going to be traveling and we're going to be doing, you know, different things. Like right this minute, I am literally snowed in at a friend's house. I got here to visit her just before we got snowed in. We've been snowed in for 5 days. And so in those 5 days, it's been, well, if nothing else, we're going to get outside. We're going to do hikes in the woods and we're going to do balance because you can do those in here. Roadblocks are the things that slow us down because we pretend like life isn't going to happen. And it's probably the biggest one I hear that like everybody thinks is an acceptable one. Oh, well, the grandkids are here. I'm like, well, that's good. So what are you going to do with them? Take them out and do something with them. Stick them in the corner with a book and do pick up your weights. I don't care.
So that's perfection. There's not anticipating those roadblocks. The third one is going beyond that tipping point.
Beyond that tipping point. I mean, and some of the other ones that just stop us is just, it's just fear, really. Like, I mean, I'm just going to put a couple of them together. It's just fear because it's like, is this really going to help me? Am I wasting my time? Am I starting something and going to find that a month from now, once again, I've let myself down? Like, this is the mind game piece of it. We have big mind games when it comes around fitness. And if you can get past what happens in your brain when it comes to, whoops, this didn't work before, it's probably not going to work now, or you refuse to start small. Like, that's a big one. I used to be the person who was like, start strong, go big, blah, blah, blah. And I went, you know what? All that's doing is making us hurt. Stop that. Let's start small and build up. And if you're not willing to do that, then what happens is, you start big, like I used to say, and then you get injured, and then you're sitting on the sidelines again. And now 8 weeks have gone by, and you're despondent. So it's putting all the pieces together. And not, I mean, another one that is really a consistency killer, and I don't think it's one of the five in my book, is not having a plan. Like, if you don't have a plan, and that plan doesn't have to be a big deal, but you do have to have a plan. For everybody listening who, you know, we're busy women, we're doing all the things. And if you don't have something on your to-do list or on your calendar or on that plan, it's just a fairy tale. It's not real. It only becomes real when we actually schedule it.
So this is one motivation, way to stay motivated to be consistent is to have a plan. What else, what other tips do you have to stay motivated, to stay consistent?
Okay, so we're going to use some of the ones I just talked about, but flip them a little bit. So you do need a plan. Start small with your plan. Get an accountability buddy. Like, I want everyone to be accountable to themselves, but we have to start somewhere. And if it's one word I hear more than anything from everybody is like, well, I'm not accountable. And I'm like, well, actually you are, but you know, let's start small and build up to where you are 100% accountable to yourself, but you've got to have that layered accountability. So have a buddy, don't have your best friend be your buddy. Your best friend's job is to like make you feel good. So if you're texting her and going, oh, you know, it was a really bad day and I don't want to do that workout because, you know, I got fired. Your best friend's going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Let's go get a glass of wine. You shouldn't be working out. We should be just chatting, right? Like that's your job. Your life partner, a lot of life partners, their job is to figure out how to keep you from making them move. So they're like, they know what's going to get you to sit down on the sofa and watch Netflix and eat pizza. And then a lot of people think that an app, just like some sort of online app, is going to make it work for them. It is so easy to turn an app off. Like an app's a good tracker, but it's not accountability. So, you know, accountability buddies are a good one. Another one is that you just have to realize that motivation is not something that you're born with. A lot of people believe that they're not consistent because they're not motivated, and it's backwards. Motivation is something that you learn. You practice it again, and you keep practicing it until all of a sudden you don't need that quote unquote motivation because you're just already following through on your consistency path. And then coming back to the very beginning is just allowing yourself a little grace when you're not perfect. Don't beat yourself up. You just restart and you get in the habit of always restarting when you need to, because it's so easy to have the mindset that, oh gosh, yeah, I haven't been working out for 2 weeks again. So that must mean that this is never going to work for me. You just have to restart until all of a sudden by the day you realize that your movement and your better eating habits are just who you are now instead of what you're trying to do.
You mentioned, so the accountability buddy, that often works. And I guess that shouldn't be your spouse and it shouldn't be your best friend. You mentioned layered accountability in your book. What is that?
So layered accountability is the way I look at it is you're at the very top of that pyramid, right? So you start bottom. What's the easiest accountability you can use? Yeah, maybe it is an app. Maybe that is. And then the next piece up is maybe you give yourself a goal of some sort. Like if I do X, Y, Z, then I'm going to be able to, I don't know, get the bathing suit. I don't care what it is. That one's a little fuzzy. And I have to tell you, because a lot of times our goals kind of fizzle, but a lot of people want to put that reward system in there. Then the next piece would be give yourself something to train towards. So maybe it's doing a 5K. Maybe it's going on an adventure trip. Maybe it's nothing more than doing a little hike that you've seen off the side of your cement path that you've been walking for years, and you've always been a little bit timid about it. Maybe it's just pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and trying something like that. But give yourself something to shoot for, something to look forward to, something to try something new. And then the next step up is in that accountability. Buddies fall within there in a lot of ways, but having a good accountability buddy usually means having 3+ people in a group. Two people doesn't work very well, because I've had lots of people be like, oh, please be my accountability buddy. And then they just fade away. So you need 3 people, because you need to keep bringing it back. But having that accountability piece in there, and then at the very top, like, what does it look like? Like when you reach that point where you are 100% accountable to yourself, what does it look like? And I'm not 100% accountable to myself. I am in certain areas, like my fitness. Like, you know, I mean, I'm a machine. It's what I do, right? I don't even think about it. But then there's like using my red light therapy consistently, I kind of stink at it. So I have to like pull in a couple of friends and go, okay, today's the day. I've got to do this, you know, and I'm going to text you every day this week because I've got to get back at this. And I do. And their job is to, in my accountability group, is to call me out if I haven't done it. So, you know, it's really in the end, it's habits. That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's creating those habits that make this all come together.
I'm going to have to let you go soon. So we're going to, before I do, tell us a little bit about this upcoming retreat that you have.
Oh, we have a few. This year we have 6 retreats that we're doing. One of them is a dog sledding retreat, but that's getting ready to happen now, which is kind of like new and different. We're going to Portugal, which is a fun one. I'm taking a group into Glacier National Park for a hiking retreat. The Smokies is my, like, that's my heart life where I want to be all the time. And so we do have a Smoky retreat that we've got some room in, and it's hiking, It's hiking through the mountains when the fall foliage changes. It's trying some new things like maybe some rafting or some duckies. We have a lot of different things we do. We always take a yoga instructor with us and we take a masseuse with us. So, you know, it's not just let's go out and, you know, be really like tough and do all these hard things. It's let's do some hard things. Let's do some fun things and let's take care of ourselves.
So exciting, actually. I love to the whole outdoor adventure stuff. I think that's your jam. And if people want to jump along, then that's great. Just you've got the retreat all organized. You just have to jump in. When do they have to book it and how much does it cost?
So for the Smokies, I suggest booking about 3 months in advance at least, which would put it at about June. And the reason I say 3 months is that along with a retreat, they get a program I created called Adventure Fit. And it actually walks them from wherever they are in their fitness journey to being able to go do some of the hikes we do. And there's always levels to the hikes. So, you know, nobody has to worry about being left behind. And that particular retreat, I think, is about $2,200, something like that. And it's mostly all inclusive except for airfare.
Do we get a discount of any kind? Have you got a code for us?
I can put one together for you. And it would be what I would do. Now, first, truly, let me make sure that my numbers are correct because like I'm the one that says, let's go do these things. And then someone else in my team puts all the numbers together. So at if 22.5, of course, we can do a discount of probably, let me just make something up on the spot, 5 to 8%.
So, okay.
Yes. And we will get you a discount that you can put in the show notes.
Yes. Give us a discount. Make it Zora, Z-O-R-A. And then let's see if we, you know, anybody wants to jump in. So everyone can grab a free copy of your book, Fit, Active, and Ageless for Life on your website. I'll have links to that in the show notes and the links to the retreat as well. And your website is fitisfreedom.com. And I've got your Facebook pages and groups and Instagrams, LinkedIn, YouTubes. It'll all be there. So before I let you go, do you have any last words for a woman going through the menopause transition?
Yeah, I do. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't believe that this is an end. I do know it's a beginning. There's so much that can happen and be open for you after all of this goes on because suddenly life becomes bigger and life can become bigger. And so please just don't stop and find something that you love to do. Find something that sounds like fun and go do it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you, Zora, and thank you to everyone listening.
Today's podcast is sponsored by the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine, which is the authority when it comes to understanding bioidentical hormones. And right now, I am in the middle of taking their menopause method course, and I am so impressed. This is a self-paced course designed by Dr. David Rosensweet, who's been treating women going through menopause for nearly 3 decades. I can highly recommend this program, particularly if you are a doctor or someone who's actually prescribing hormones to women for menopause. And if you're not, that's okay. Make an appointment at iobim.org to find out more about the program to see if you're a candidate for the menopause method. And ask for a discount with the code Zora, Z-O-R-A. And if you're just looking for a qualified doctor who's highly trained in menopause medicine, check out their sister site, brite.live. Empower yourself with information and a doctor that you can trust because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
Hey, did you enjoy the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe to be notified of all the new episodes and leave a review to help build the tribe. It's a small act of kindness that brings me big benefits and helps others find this amazing content. The best thing you can do is share. Sharing is caring. Statements made on this podcast have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anything we say or products we mention are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information provided by this podcast is not a substitute for personal medical advice and not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the personal research and experience of me and my guests.